Today we're going to look at 1 Kings, and it's an unusual passage for Mother's Day, but my goal is to, first of all, just spell out three truths that you moms may not know. Well, you should know, but we're going to reinforce them, just so you know these truths are true of every mom that's here. And then we're going to give you a little help at the end as well, possibly. But I want you to think about those two perspectives, because I think moms are just way too hard on themselves. Take your Bibles if you have them with you today and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. There is a story. When I first tell you about it, you're going to say, why did you choose something like that for Mother's Day? But it's the story of Solomon. The first part of chapter 3 starts with Solomon taking over the kingdom. Remember, Solomon was King David's son. King David was a wonderful king. How would you like to follow a king like David, one who defeated Goliath, one who conquered all the enemies of Israel, one who really established the nation of Israel as being the best of all the kingdoms of the world? And now you're the son, and you have to follow in your dad's footsteps, whatever the saying is. How would you feel about that? And what was amazing is that God understood that enough to go to Solomon in the first part of the chapter and say, Solomon, I'm going to give you whatever you ask for. You can ask for anything, and I will give it to you. What should I ask for? Should I ask for a wonderful family? Should I ask for great riches? Should I ask for a Ferrari that wasn't invented yet? What should I ask for? And you know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. He says in verse 7 of this chapter, he says, now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I can't handle this. You've given me more than I'm wise enough to take care of. So please, God, give me wisdom. And if you know the story, you know that God not only grants Solomon wisdom, but he says, even though I knew everybody else would have asked for this and you didn't, I'm going to give you this too, and I'm going to give you great riches. And Solomon got both. And then the first story that displays his wisdom is a story that involves two moms. And I see in this story three truths about moms that Solomon knew because God gave him that wisdom. But I think there's a lot of moms that you don't realize that we as children know you have these three characteristics as well. You might be like the mom in the video and thinking the day was terrible, but we as kids know it was the best day ever because of you. And I want to read you that story. It's kind of an odd story, but let me read it to you. It starts in verse 16. It goes like this. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was in the house. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. Picture their situation here. This is in ancient Israel. They were harlots. You know how society looked down on harlots. And nobody cared for them. They had to live together. And then they were pregnant, and we won't go into how that took place, but you know that all the things that were involved in that, they probably weren't thinking that it was the best situation, but they each had a child to care for in a home together, nobody taking care of them. That was their situation. Verse 19, and this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. She switched children. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Her word against her word. No witnesses. How could a king decide for these two women whose son it belonged to? What was he going to do? Well, it says, then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Happy Mother's Day. I told you it wasn't a normal one you would pick for Mother's Day, but anyway. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. And the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. How did he know that? Because of three truths about mothers that we all know that sometimes I think moms miss, but we know it. So the king answered, and all Israel heard the judgment. Verse 28 is where I'm at. And all Israel heard of the judgment of the king that the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. What a wonderful story when you start thinking about moms and you start thinking of the truths that this story tells us that we all know. Now, moms are a valuable commodity in our society. And as the moms go, so does the nation go. And I can see it in many families' lives. They cook for us. They turn a house into a home. They mend wounds. They counsel us when we're facing disappointment. They cheer us when things aren't going well. Probably the greatest contribution that they give us is they instruct us in everyday life. Moms are great. Moms are full of information. They are full of teaching. For instance, mothers teach us logic. Your mom, I'm sure, said this: if you fall out of a tree and break your leg, don't come running to me. You know, they're full of logic. They're full of foresight. They'll say things like, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. How many mothers have said that? They have too. Don't lie. My mom said it. Mothers are full. Your moms really didn't say that? How many moms said that? We're the only normal ones here. Well, in case you don't know, always wear clean underwear. You never know when you're going to get in an accident. Okay. They're full of foresight, full of maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. They're full of teaching about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Okay, think about it. They teach us about travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. They teach us about contradictions. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. They teach us about contortionism. Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck? They teach us about perseverance. You are going to sit here until you eat that last piece of broccoli. They teach us about genetics. You're just like your father. I did hear that one a lot, too. My kids sadly hear that one a lot. Not from me, it's Ruth telling them. But anyway, mothers teach us about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. They teach us about the circle of life. I really think dads do this, but it says mothers. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. One of the things that God instilled in moms, he let King Solomon know so that Solomon can sort out the judgment that was placed before him. And I want to just pick out just a few of those truths that you as children need to know today, because you need to remind your moms and thank them that, first of all, they valued you. They had you. Again, think of the situation here. Here are two harlots who get pregnant, who have no means of support other than their trade. And how well is that going to go when you're pregnant and have a child? And it would have been really easy to try to do what I think our society does quite often and get rid of the problem. But they didn't. They valued those children. Even though they knew it was going to create a hardship in their lives, they valued them. King Solomon knew that they valued him. The Bible says that children are a blessing, are a heritage from the Lord. God has given us children, and they bring joy into our lives. And any of you who have children, you know that it's one thing to think this, but it's another thing to actually experience it, and you know the value of children once they come into your life. And yes, it does require sacrifice, just like in these two women's lives, they were willing to pay the sacrifice. I did a little Google search this week. I wanted to know how much it cost, talking about sacrifice, to raise a child. From birth to 17, now this the earliest statistic that I could find is if your child was born in 2015. Okay, so if your child was born in 2015 and you're going to raise them from birth to age 17, you know how much money you need? $233,610. $233,000. $610. Now, I lowered that $600. I got rid of it because I only let my kids eat off the dollar menu, okay? And then that can get rid of at least $600 of it. If you do what we did at the beginning and you just go into Myers, we'd say, kids, we're going to eat out today. You go into Myers, get a loaf of bread and a thing of bologna and a bag of chips if you're really spending. Then you might be lower it down to $232,999. You can get it down a little bit. I know you can. But they say that's the first child. Now you've provided housing and things like that. So it gets less as the children, as you keep adding children. So if you really want to have more product for the value, have more children. Right, Shirks? Right. So that's the way to get the value down. Then per child, it's not as much. So the more you have, you can spread that out. But $233,000? How much do you value your child? Would I sell Matthew for $233,000? The answer's obvious. Mothers value children. They do. And that's our first point here. Don't read into what I say. The second thing that we know about children from Solomon's story here is that mothers know their children. The mother wakes up in the middle of the night, obviously dark. They don't have electricity back then. She goes to nurse the child or whatever, feed the child, and the child is dead. It's not until morning that she looks at this child and she says, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not my child. You ever been in they don't have them that way anymore, but you used to be able to go in the hospital and you stand in front of the window and you see all the babies there, and they all basically look the same, you know? But moms know the difference. I sometimes wonder if we might have gotten the wrong one once in a while. I'm not sure. But moms know that. They know which one is their child. Proverbs tells us, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. Now, the idea there isn't so much that you train children all the same way. You train up a child in the way he will go. Each child is different, and that's what's amazing to me. Not one of our children are the same. They all are different. They all learn different. They all, when you're trying to teach them something, you have to teach them differently. And moms just have a way of sensing and knowing their children. Knowing what works for one may not work for another. I read an example of that. It was a woman who gave the testimony. She said this: "When my husband and I got married, we knew that we wanted to have kids. We married young, but put ourselves through college and had our first daughter 6.5 years after we were married. Our first daughter made parenting seem easy. I thought it was because I had prepared well for motherhood, reading all that I could get my hands on about parenting. Then, 5.5 years later, we had our second daughter. Both girls were a joy to raise. Both were quite different to raise. Our daughters brought both their gifts and their challenges to us as parents, especially as teenagers. They clearly had different personalities. What worked for the first didn't work necessarily for the second. Our first child was easygoing and went along with our rules. The second child couldn't really understand why we had to have rules in the first place. We needed to adjust as our parenting style to accommodate the differences in personality to allow our children to grow and still maintain a sense of themselves." Moms, it just seems like they just get that so naturally. You ask a mom, what's that child like? And they'll go into this long spiel, and dad's sitting there and thinking, yeah, that's true, but I would have never come up with it. And then what's this child like? And they just know their children. Solomon counted on that. He understood that they valued those two children, but then he knew that one definitely knew the difference. Both of them did, but they weren't going to admit it. They knew which was which. It wasn't up to Solomon to decide that. He knew they knew, and so what he was about to try would have only worked if the mother knew that was truly their child. And so he went on from there, and he goes to his next point, which is probably the most important one. Mothers love their children. Solomon counted on that truth. He knew that a mother would sacrifice. He knew that a mother would never let their child be put to death. And so he says, bring the sword. He had no intention of cutting that child in two, but the moms didn't know that. And you know how the story goes, and the mom that was that child said, no, I would rather not have my child live with me than to have my child die. And Solomon said, give that woman her child back. He understood the love of a mom. He understood that there was nothing that could separate that mom from that child. I read another true story. Her name was Deborah Kemp. She was filling her vehicle with gas. Her 6-year-old daughter, Ashley, was asleep in the back seat. As she's filling that, somebody jumps in her car and goes to take off. She grabs the window that was down, thankfully, and it starts to get drug along, not letting the guy in the vehicle take her child. She's hitting, she's beating. She eventually pulls him out of the car. She got somehow one of those the wheel lock things, must have been right there in the car, beat him with it until the police arrived. She ended up with skinned knees, and a bruise or two. He ended up with, let me get this right here. Deborah Kemp suffered only ripped pants and bloodied knees. Her daughter was not injured at all. She actually woke up after the event. The suspect didn't fare as well. He was unable to walk. One leg was broken and the other fractured. He also suffered head injuries. Don't come, moral of the story, don't come between a mom and her love for her child. King Solomon knew that. He knew that no mom would let their child be put to death, and so he counted on it. He banked on it. We thank God for that. Our moms have put up with an awful lot from us. We are the beneficiaries of that love. We are the beneficiaries of that sacrifice that they give to us. These are truths. If you're sitting here, mom, and you're feeling sorry about who you are, guess what? Your children, remember the video? You'll never forget that video. They don't see things the way you see things. They see a mom that values them. They see a mom that knows them like nobody else. They see a mom that loves them. like nobody else. So, do you think that was God's point in giving us the lesson here of Solomon? And I'm going to tell you, no, it wasn't. His point wasn't to teach us about moms. I'm just telling you that he knew this about moms, so he could, through the wisdom that God gave him, he could solve the situation. We just know that's true. But what is the lesson of the story? The lesson is that God gave Solomon wisdom to do something that he wouldn't have been, nobody else would have been able to, her word against her word, couldn't have sorted that out. But, of course, God knew, but God gave Solomon wisdom that he otherwise would not have had. So, moms, I know you sometimes feel like God's giving you so much in raising your children, and am I going to do it right? What if I do it wrong? And all these things go through your mind. Guess what? Yes, God has given you an impossible task, but God is there to help you. Just like Solomon asked God for wisdom, he promises that to us as parents, as mothers as well. And if I can find the verses here. Ask, Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, will you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now this is the confidence, that's John 15:7. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5:14. God's given us these impossible opportunities in raising our children, but he also promises to give us the help in those in times of need. Which goes right along with the second one here. And third one. Insight. This is of course Solomon back in the first part of the chapter, but in verse 9 he says, therefore give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? How many times, moms, have two of your children come after you heard the ruckus in the other room, and then they have two totally different stories of how that's taken place? And I know that there's times that that's happening, and it's like, oh, Lord, I don't know. I'm just going to, do you punish them both because you don't know which one did it? No, you're not going to do that, but you make one suffer until the other one confesses. But sometimes you don't know. But we can pray to God. We can ask for wisdom, even in those kind of situations. The last thing that we learned from Solomon is that he had an immense reward. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. And God said, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you great riches because you didn't ask for great riches. God has blessed every mom here because you're a mom. If nothing else, the reward is your children. He's given you an immense blessing in which we can be thankful for. Just as he promised that to Solomon, he blesses you as moms, and I hope that you feel that blessing today as your family shares with you. There's a young boy who went to a local store with his mother. The shop owner was a kindly man, and he decided to pass a jar of candy to the boy and said, take a handful, you can just have it. And the boy uncharacteristically just stands there, almost like he's ashamed to just reach in and grab a handful. And his mom couldn't figure out. There's nothing bashful about him. But yet he wouldn't take the candy. And the store owner offered it again. And he didn't refuse, but he just kind of stood there. And the store owner said, here. And he reaches in and he hands him a handful of candy. Well, mom and son leave. And as they leave, the mother turns to the son and said, he was offering you candy, a handful of candy. Why didn't you take it? And the boy says, his hand's bigger than mine. Smart lad. God has a way of doing that in our lives, doesn't he? We expect just a little, but his hand is always bigger than our hand. And moms, I hope you realize the blessing you are to us, and you, I hope, receive that same blessing from the hand of God. So what have we learned today? We've learned that women, moms, are value their children like no one else. Moms have an insight into knowing their children like no one else. And moms love their children like no one else. We know that. The Bible says that. And whether you agree with us or not, moms, it's true. And we know that. But we know that we give you an impossible task. We're not always the funnest people to be around as children. And we can sometimes cause you great pain. But thankfully, you got a God that promises to be there for you. A God who promises to meet those requests that you bring to give you insight into your raising of your children. 600 students at a university were asked to write on a piece of paper the most beautiful word in the English language. 600 students. 402 wrote the word mother, mom, whatever. They wrote 432. 112 wrote the word home, which also, I think, attributes to mom. Adding those two together, you got 534 out of 600. Say, mom, you're the most beautiful, most important word in the whole English language. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for each one of the moms that you have brought into our lives. I thank you for the gift that they are to us. I thank you that you designed the family, you designed motherhood, and Lord, there's nothing greater for us as children. And we just thank you and praise you for that. I pray for each of the moms here. I just pray that they would just get a picture of how much they're appreciated today. That Lord, that you would just be that source of wisdom and strength in their lives, But Lord, we just, as children, we just rise up and praise you and thank you for the wonderful gift of motherhood. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.